Welcome back to the ATL podcast or the Atlanta podcast. Either or, we're totally fine with whatever you feel like calling us. This is the podcast where I talk to the famous, Atlanta famous, infamous, or just about anybody else. I feel like I almost didn't make it through that whole sentence, but I did. Ladies and gentlemen, great episode today with Sarah. We just had it a couple days ago, and usually these things might sit in the can for a while, but man, this is a doozy. Wanted to get it right up to you. We had such a great, great chat. And first, I'm going to tell you about today's sponsor, Finca to Filter, my new fave local coffee shop, celebrating humanity's finest. Listen, I like my coffee, and I like my coffee places. What I really love is when I roll up, they know my name, they know my drink, we have a nice chat, they're not just there doing the business, if you know what I mean, and that's what Finca to Filter has been like day one. I started going a year ago, and they opened over in Best End Brewery. I always call it Best End. It's not Best End. It's near Wild Heaven over there in the Best End, and now they've got two more locations. Well, they've got one, and it's got two things right here where I'm working out of right now inside of Create Atlanta, which you'll be hearing a lot more in the future. But Finca to Filter is awesome. Finca to Filter, our primary goal is to celebrate humanity's finest moments. That sip you take when you're with us has been carefully crafted based on our expertise gleaned from years on a coffee farm, or finca in Spanish, in Guatemala, and a lifetime of studying the creation of the bean. We're proud to be queer woman entrepreneurs in the coffee and hospitality sector, but we're most inspired to set the highest standard for community-driven, sustainable, and thoughtful business. And those aren't just buzzwords, okay? They mean it. I had a great chat with Kayla on this very show a while back, but she'll have a great chat with you anytime. Just roll up to Finca or the cool little Finca trailer, and they'll chat with you. Great, great folks. Believe in good causes. Believe in good people. And enjoy a nice cup of joe. Go check out Finca to Filter over here in the West End at Finca to Filter. Oops, I almost got that website wrong. At Finca to Filter dot coffee. How did you do that, Kayla? Dot coffee. That's rad. On today's program, Sarah Kim from Our Bar Atlanta, Our Bar ATL, recommended to me by New Face. My new buddy New Face said that was his favorite place to eat. I reached out to them. I met him there, reached out on social, blah, blah, blah. I said, would Sarah be good to talk to? And he was like, would Sarah be good to talk to? So we sat down with, this is a cool new surprise. So we sat down at our new potential semi-home away from home, Magic City. That's right. We had a great episode with Julian, aka Juju from Magic City a few weeks ago. And we've become friendly with those folks. And why not talk to Atlanta legends in an Atlanta legendary spot like Magic City? So we're giving it a whirl. We're going to do a few there and see how that goes. You've got some episodes coming up. I'm actually recording there later today. And you'll find out about that guest very soon. So let's get into it, though. Let's get into Sarah and I from just recently. Great, great chat. Away we go.
I smoked some cigarettes yesterday, so.
That's good. It's good for the... You, what were you shooting in here? What'd you say you were doing?
I shot this thing called Wet Bread. Well, Trouble did an interview with Magic City. Like, they had a blog event type of thing at one point, so we shot that right over there. And I believe Shannon was bartending, Shay. That was before she passed. That was like a day shift situation, so that was kind of cool. I keep looking over there. It's a little weird.
We've talked about, like, in the first, like, 10 minutes I've known you, like, sadly, like, a lot of people that have passed.
Yeah. It's not stopping, is it? Sorry to bum you out the first 5 minutes of the fucking interview, but am I allowed to cuss?
Yeah, no, of course. No. Well, no, you mentioned Speaker Fox. Were you at her funeral? Maybe we passed each other there.
Yes, I was there. I was there. But I came here. Her and Juju were really good friends. So I came here one day with her after she did. She used to do like a Red Bull series at Mean Street with TJ Drum and them.
Right.
And we came here afterwards. It was a Monday. And Juju was here and hung out in the DJ booth. I felt really cool. It was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, and then we partied. We partied hard that night, you know.
Right. So fun. Where did you grow up?
Florida. And then I moved here in 2000 to Douglasville. I went to high school out there.
Out in Douglasville?
Yeah, out in Douglasville.
Okay. Were there any other Asian people?
No, it was one other girl, and her parents owned the Chinese restaurant in Douglasville.
Because, of course, they did.
Off of Chapel Hill, yep. And she didn't speak very good English, but we were cool. I don't really remember her name or nothing, but that was the only other Asian girl there.
Did you feel, how do you think you were received?
Oh, Man, I mean, I feel like most of my friends were black, though. The white people, I didn't really understand too well. We didn't get along. It was such a contrast. I wasn't used to that coming from Florida. Everybody was just kind of tan. You know, a lot of Hispanics, a lot of Haitians, a lot of everything.
A lot of brown people in Florida.
Yeah.
You don't even know what people are.
No, and then I came here and I was like, oh, shit, this is white people.
Right.
This is real white.
Right.
And I was like, I don't like that. I wasn't really feeling that. So, like, the black people took to me pretty nicely. So I made a lot of black friends and I hung out with black kids in school.
Right. And yeah. what did you think you wanted to do kind of with your life at that age? Or do you even remember?
No, my parents were just like school. And then I went to bartending school while I was, as soon as I turned 18, I was working at Olive Garden. And I was like, man, the bartender's making bank. This is when they still had smoking sections.
Right.
Like, want to sit in smoking or non-smoking?
Yes, I do.
And I was like, oh, man. So I went to bartending school. I went to ABC off of Windy Hill. And straight out of there, I got a job at, Peaches now? I don't know. Queen City? But they call it Peaches or something now.
The one right over here?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I got a job there. And then I worked at Shooter's Alley. I worked at Follies. I worked at Club Wax.
But, like, you just went straight into that world.
Yeah, I dropped out of school. I was like, fuck that.
But you weren't like, I want to work at some club in like some random dance club in Buckhead. You were like, let's go straight to
strip clubs. Yeah, that's where the money was.
So you just knew that.
Yeah, kind of. And then, I worked at other places too. Like I worked at the Spice Market with John George's down at the W. I worked at Hudson Grill. And
so you did work at some like.
Yeah, but the good money was in strip clubs.
And so you were just like, that's where, let's go where the money is.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I dropped out of college and my parents hated me.
Right.
Yeah. But then department store is kind of, I guess, the story of where I am now started with department store on Edgewood.
Okay.
And that's where I met everybody that works at the bar now, that's part owners of the bar now. That's kind of where, I guess, this begins more so. Like everybody I met that we just spoke about kind of happened then too.
But it's still a pretty big leap. A lot of people, yeah. Right? I'm guessing like I'm a little bit older than you, but you're familiar with the movie Cocktail.
Yes. Tom Cruise.
Right.
Yeah. Cuba Libres.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, we're going to open this bar. Like everybody has that dream. A lot of people have that dream, especially when they're drinking, talking shit, whatever. So Can you talk to me about like how long, like the journey from like idea to reality or like how that all kind of went down?
Okay. So department store was what, like 2014-ish. I ended up quitting. Me and the owner didn't see eye to eye very well. I quit. Some of them still stayed. I ended up going into artist management. One of the girls that was working there, her name's Abra. She's pretty kind of a big deal now. So me and her went on the road, you know, and then Dax. I started managing Dax straight out of department store. So I went into this artist management who introduced me to Motion Family. And then I got into film production and I moved up that ladder very quickly. And that's where we got a lot of the money from production work. So then when we're doing this production work, they're like, man, we need a team of people. And I was like, well, I got these bar motherfuckers that could kind of work on, you know, as PAs or grips and gas or whatever you may need, location scouting. We can just all figure this out together since you got me on. So we just hired all of them. So then we got into the mindset of working together. You know, in a different environment than department store and just bar back and nightclub shit. So that, you know, Sean might be doing security on set. I might be pulling some of the waitresses to be extras. You know, all the PAs might be some bar backs and bartenders that are working on set with us. And then we save up money and then we get our bar.
You are what I would call a true hustler.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I just don't want to go back to school. I just didn't want to go back to college.
I mean, you
I fucking hated it.
No. And I appreciate that it's like you're about that hustle and you're about that life. But again, so are a lot of people.
Yeah.
And a lot of people either start and stop or the first road bump. So I remember a friend of mine like opened a store. He had a big corporate job and he's like, I'm going to open a store. And so he opened like a cell phone accessory store. And I want to say like 9 months in, he was like, okay, this didn't work. I'll go back to the job. And it's like, well, dude,
you could do that. There's nothing wrong with that.
No. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's like you didn't even give it a chance.
Oh, yeah, true. Okay, like, I see what you mean.
Like, you know what I'm saying? And I've had other friends that have done that. They're like, yeah, we tried it, and then it didn't work, and they just...
Cold feet.
Well, it's fucking hard, as you know. And you're saying it so casually, but building what you just built, like all those relationships, all those connections, like people have to like you.
I never had to start over. It's not even about being like, I just have to be good for it. As long as I'm good for it, the reputation will carry me further than any resume or experience or, you know what I mean? So that makes sense.
It totally makes sense. I just appreciate how to you it's the natural next thing to do. But
we failed a bunch.
Okay, good. Let's talk about that.
Like, I failed a bunch. No, me and Justin had a social commerce company called Creative Loot, and Facebook wiped us out overnight. We had gotten offered like $1 million, like this big tech guy wanted to buy us out.
Right.
And we said no because we were just holding our nuts on it. We're like, this is the new wave. You can purchase in stream, you know, of Facebook and Twitter.
What year is this?
This was before department store. Well, no, after shit. Yeah, this was after department. No, before department store. Yeah, because then he was working at Dreams and Tees. So yeah, like 2013, 2012, like, yeah.
And what was it? What did the app do?
It was called Creative Loot, and we found a way to embed like e-commerce sites within the streams of Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. So you can play videos in stream before there was Facebook Marketplace, before there was these online stores associated with Instagram and stuff. Instagram wasn't even that big, really. But we found a way that you can, like, a shop could use this coding and pop up. It would pull up like a video, but you can purchase and pick the size, pick the color, and go through the whole checkout process.
And then what happened?
Well, then Facebook woke up one day and was like, we're going to drop this. And then Facebook e-commerce, Facebook stores became a thing.
Right.
So we were just like.
Right. And by the way, in tech world, $1 million isn't even a lot of money.
No, it's not.
But I will take $1 million.
We said no. I don't know why.
Right.
We just did. We were just so confident in it. But yeah, no, failures all the time.
But were you, when that quote unquote didn't work out, were you like really kicking yourself?
Yeah, I was fucking pissed. I had to go back to bartending and shit, you know? So it's like that 3 steps forward, 2 steps back, you know? I had left my other job. I was like, yeah, I'm going to start this tech company. I'm going to fucking, you know, and then it's just like tail between my legs. Like, all right, so are y'all hiring? Can I get my job back?
Right, but even this idea of this sort of like conglomerate of we've got people for you.
Yeah. That's cool, right?
No, that's amazing.
I love it.
But what was that? Was it an official business or that's just no?
It was just content. We were all just needing money. And we were kind of like hanging out with each other. And we're all just like, what the fuck is, like, we help each other. Like, someone that's never bar back before, we can like walk them through it, through the shift. Like, don't, dude, just get the ice. Like, okay, I'll get the ice. And then we can just kind of fake it like we know what the fuck we're doing, but nobody knows what they're doing.
Right. But I believe, like, that is the true sense of fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Like, this idea now, it's gone so far that, like, the fraudsters are out there.
Yeah.
So they say that's what led to, like, Firefest and, like, and like the Theranos lady.
Oh,
but the
God.
True sense of what you're just talking about is, so, like, did you watch How to Make It in America?
No.
Okay. How to Make It in America, great show about hustle culture. It lasted, I want to say, 2 seasons. It's one of those things that's like, why did they stop? Because it's just about like a couple of friends and like they launched like the jean company. But it was good. Like the arc was going to be that they would quote unquote make it. But along the way, they have these little, you know, the little hits you get that you think might be the thing and then it's not.
No.
But in the meantime, dude had a bartending gig, right?
Yeah.
So you see him talking to his friend, like giving him the tie. Listen, it's $100, blah, 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 blah. I need you to do this, this, and this, right? Cut to like a few scenes later, he's got another friend, right, that he's giving it to, and he's like, it's $75.
Yes, that's it.
Because he's going to get
exactly
his kickback, right? And he gives him the tie, and it's like, I recognize that so much. So I lived in LA for 10 years, right?
Yeah.
So I was doing stand-up, I was trying to act, all that stuff. And like, I never worked for anybody. I never wanted a real fucking job.
No.
So I get that.
The freelancer mentality, 1099s all the way.
Right.
Like, just invoice me, bro. Send me your W-9, send me an invoice.
Right.
Like, we'll figure it out.
But dude, back then it was like waiting on a check. I had a P.O. box that I was always checking. I remember one night I got there, like they closed at 6.
The mail room?
The P.O.
thing.
Box.
Uh-huh.
And I got there at like 5:59. I literally went around to the back because they're like the front and like all the trucks are there and I knocked and the guy comes out and I'm like, I am begging you.
I need to get my
There's $300 in there and I, to me at the time.
$300 is bang.
Right. I'm like,
that.
I need that so bad.
Yeah, I do.
And he was kind enough to like go get it. But
that
like
nice.
Nowadays everything's just like boop.
Yeah, that's a good thing and a bad thing. I don't know.
Why is it bad?
I don't know. It's just it's so instant. Too much instant gratification everywhere. Everything's instant. I can just buy anything I want. Just spend it.
Right.
It comes in, it comes out.
But people can't give you that like it's in the mail bullshit anymore.
No, you're right. I mean, they still do, though, like these net 60s, net 30s.
Right.
Like, it's like, oh, there's an issue with payment processing. The check's going to... And I'm like, oh, the budget, like the overages, you can't get cleared anymore as fast or something. I don't know. It's so, always a bunch... The industry in general is a bunch of bullshit.
So how many... I'm starting to get warm in here. Is the AC on? By the way, do you want to describe to people where we are?
We're in Magic City in the... What'd you call this again? This was the freaky room?
So Juju told me this was the freak corner.
Freak corner.
And he said over there is the tequila corner.
Oh, I love tequila.
So that's, you know...
Tequila. What do you usually drink? You're like a whiskey guy.
If I told you I was sober a really long time, would you believe it?
Yeah, well, yeah, actually. You have a lot of energy. You don't look hungover.
I am neither.
You have great skin. Yeah.
And if I told you how old I was, you might be shocked.
You have plastic surgery.
I did.
A little Botox. Your cheeks are cheeking.
I had neither. And I'm opposed
to... Not even
to,
a little bit
I'm
of
I'm opposed to both. Mm. I always said, like, I'll never do that stuff, even when I lose my hair, blah, blah, blah. Now I am
you
like...
You got good hair, too. I'm like, now I'm thinking, like, hair play?
But none of that stuff.
Okay.
I can say, though, as I've gotten older, it's one of those things that's like... Because, you know, most guys, we don't give a shit. You put on whatever, yeah. I look fine. But I have to say, in photos now... I do see if, like, you can... I got a little bald spot up here. I'm like, is that in the front?
You're aware of it?
Yeah. And I used to never even think twice of that. I graduated high school in 1990. So you can, like...
Okay.
So, like, when did you graduate high school?
05.
Okay, yeah. So...
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right? So, anyway...
You run a lot or something?
I do.
You're
a big runner. I'm a big runner.
You got runner's build. I see it.
Right. Not as thin as I used to be, but yeah.
No, it's
but
good
like
though.
That's like but so like that's how but so that's how I like I knew Nylan, right? Because she was in and out of the rooms, as we say. She was sober, then not sober, then sober, then not sober. And I have a great picture of you. I showed the last time I saw her was actually at a sober barbecue.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, have I ever asked you to be on my podcast, or this Atlanta podcast? And she does this and shows me the tattoo that she had right there. And I took a picture of it, and then that
what
was.
What does it say? I didn't even know she had a lip.
Oh, it says Zone 5 or Zone.
What?
I forget the name.
No fucking idea.
I'll show you the picture of it.
Oh my god!
And so she's like, "Can you get more ATL than that?" Like she's
That's
got fucking
awesome.
Zone 6 tattooed on her fucking.
Oh my god! I did not know that.
Yeah. So and then like I don't know, we had texted a couple times back and forth, and then it was like 3 months later. It was like she was gone.
Yeah, man. I feel.
R.I.P. Nyla. RIP Speaker Fox.
Yeah, I miss my girl, man. And the holidays are coming up, too. It's just a rough time for the whole city, I think. And then Aubrey's birthday's coming up. And then Shay, I keep looking in that corner, too, because that's like the well that she used to work at all the time. But I don't know. I partied with Nylan, which I feel kind of bad about, too. Sometimes I think about it. She was such a great time.
I know, but everybody's on their own whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
I met her. I knew her as being sober for years.
Right, right. And, but that dude, that's what happens. Like I've been sober like 20 plus years, but I'm rare.
Do you smoke weed or anything?
No,
I'm on day 63 right now.
Of no weed?
No weed, no alcohol, no drugs, no cigarettes. Well, I smoked 2 cigarettes the last 2 days. I did 60 days for cigarettes. But
you can't do them all at once. Like pick one.
Yeah.
Like
well, the drugs and alcohol.
No, no, drugs and alcohol.
It goes hand in hand for me.
Right, but cigarettes on top. I started smoking again in sobriety. I had quit smoking cigarettes and when I got sober.
Need something, right?
I was like, fuck me, dude. So is this just like I'm going to try it for 3 months or what's the plan?
I did 420 days before.
Okay.
When the bar was opening, I said that I wasn't going to do anything until the bar opened, but I thought it was going to be 6 months and then we got pushed back and pushed back.
Right.
So it ended up being 420 days exactly.
Right. Have you ever tried like the, I have no judgment on whoever,
no,
whatever.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried the program thing?
What program?
You know, like the 12-step thing. Have you ever tried that?
What's that?
I guess not.
Is this AA?
Yeah.
So somebody just texted me today about AA saying that she went for the first time. And I was really proud of her. And she sent me this little quote and I was like, you know what? Thanks. Cause I was just sitting here like, man, I really want to fucking drink. Or a Xanax or something. I don't know. I want something. But no, I haven't. But right. I can. It's more of a, I don't know if it's a control thing or what, but it's a fitness thing too. I'm always going to the gym and doing more healthy stuff.
Right.
Or just have more energy when I'm sober.
So what's your workout routine? What are you doing these days?
I do a lot of hot yoga.
Right.
I love Highland yoga. Like the sweat is insane. I just left Sweat House and I did some of that cold plunge cryo thing.
I want to try the cryo. I hear it's amazing.
This wasn't quite cryo, but it was like you get in 44 degree water and you like dunk for 3 minutes at a time. So that was fucking insane. It was my first time. I hated it. I'm not doing it again.
Right. I thought you just go into the chamber.
See, I think that's the real kind. This was just like at the sauna and like you go into this cold tank.
Right. So but. Yoga, I like to explain to people, much like meditation.
Yeah.
Like people think like some magical thing's going to happen. It's not on day one or even on day 20. It's 6 months in, you go, wait, I feel better. I feel more clear.
What have you done? Hot yoga?
Oh, I only do hot yoga.
See, okay, like the power flow. That's like regular yoga is not really. It doesn't do too much for me. But hot yoga, if I come out drenched in sweat, then I can see the fruits of my labor, the sweats of my labor.
Right, but also like so, I did the Bikram, right, which is like movements, yeah. Right, and it was like amazing that. Like, I'm not very limber, right? I'm not very
flexible either.
Right? Like, I can run, but like, I can't, like, I have no flexibility whatsoever. So to be in there, and then one day you kind of hit a spot you never hit before.
Yeah. And you're like, pops and cracks.
And you're like, whoa. Yeah. And like, in that moment, you're not thinking about my kids, bills to pay, shit I got to do. I'm running late to meet this, you know, to meet Sarah. Like, none of that. Yeah. But again, most of the time it's later, it's months down the road or whatever of doing it that you have some more. It's not like, oh, I went to yoga once and I see God.
No, this is true. Yeah, the patience, I think, or like taking my time. Sometimes they tell you to set an intention and I'm like, what the fuck does that even mean? But lately I've been setting intentions and a lot of it's been like, just take your time. And I slowly see it come back up in my mind throughout the day. So I'm like, maybe it is planting some type of a seed. Maybe I am mastering some type of... Nah, probably not. But, you know, I like it. I like it for what it is. It makes me feel good, and I like sweating. It's like my thing.
So these people, you decided, is it three partners in you? Is it four?
So there's three founders, me and then two other people total. But then there are seven people under us that are like profit interest partners.
Because that seems like it's even one other partner, you might wake up one day and like, you know what?
I hate you.
She thinks she's too cute. Right?
Yeah, get the fuck out.
Right. So how does that work with that many partners?
Well, the three of us, it's like one is Justin and Sung. So they kind of like, if they bankroll it, I can't really kick them out, right? So Justin has way better credit than me. Sung has way more money than me. So I'm kind of like, I have to make sure that I behave myself, right?
Right.
But I'm more of the marketing part of it. Sung is more finance, admin, permits, taxes. Oh my God, so much taxes. Taxes on everything. So much like lawsuits, all kinds of shit. Like he does all that stuff. And then Justin deals with operations, liquor orders, inventory. So the three of us, with our powers combined, it kind of does work out. I get to do the fun shit. I get to go out and take people to lunch and spend the money.
Come to Magic City middle of the day.
Yeah.
So
what's going on? Are they cooking? They're kissing.
So they fire up, apparently they fired up at 2, but food's not till 3.
Fuck yeah.
And apparently... not apparently. When I was here the last time to do this, there was a DJ on his first day that was like asking for like wings early, and they were like, "He's not going to work here anymore." I don't know if he's still here or not, but so yeah, you don't fuck around. Like they're like,
"Yeah, no, I'm not going over there." But I am looking.
Yeah, I'm not going till 3.
Yeah, seriously,
I'm not going till 2:59.
Yeah.
So when you started our bar, you said we need a place that does blank. Like, what was the vision
back then? I guess it was like. The ethos maybe. It was like local thriving comfort would be like my three words. It's changed a bit since then, but like local as in I wanted to support like local talent, local beers, local crap, local drinks, just anything like ATL ho, like everything is just like the logos at Atlanta, just very local, like 404 forward. Right. And then thriving would be like the energy of some of these performers. Like, you know, a lot of that was coming from department store, I think, just wanting to thrive, wanting us to thrive, wanting new brands and new talent to thrive. And then comfort was just like come as you are, comfortable pricing, you know, comfortable ambiance. Everyone knows your name. You don't have to dress up or down. There's no dress code, just comfort. Right. So now it's kind of still the same, but I feel like. I don't know what it is anymore. The pandemic really fucked us up, I think. It kind of like scrambled my brain around on what I thought I knew, you know? And there's like, you could look at other business models and my competitors even and kind of see what they would do in certain situations. And you can like, but no one's been through a pandemic before. So I had really nowhere to research and turn to. So I don't know what we are anymore. We're everything but a bar, I feel like, these days. Did I answer your question? But, you know.
No, I feel like you're the kind of person. I hope this doesn't sound offensive. And if it does, oh, well. Okay, this is how we go through life.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to shout out. She's wearing Crocs.
Yeah.
I wear Crocs. My children are fucking embarrassed of me.
But these are carrot Crocs. Anne wore carrots.
Well, apparently this is a thing, right? Yeah, the carrot. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, but here's the thing I've learned about older men. Like, when I was a kid, and you're like, why would that guy wear black socks and sandals? And the answer is because he doesn't give a fuck.
Right.
Right? That's the answer.
Yeah.
Now, I will probably not wear that, but, like, I got these, like, graffiti painted looking Crocs sent to me from this company.
Yeah.
And I was like, I am wearing these every day. And my kids are like, we will not go out with you in public. I'm like,
how old are your kids?
15, 13, and 8.
Oh, yeah, they give a shit.
Right? It's awesome.
They give a shit.
Even when I was little, though, they got embarrassed by dad. But again, like, lesson to the kids out there, if you're listening, you're probably not. When you say this is embarrass me, we do it more. So anyway.
This is true.
But anyway, what I was going to say was, you're someone who speaks the language of the streets and the language of marketing and business. And I think that's a lot of people cannot do both. They try to fake one or the other. But I think that would be a key to your success.
Oh, thank you. I never thought about it that way. I mean, I would say that from the...
And I don't just mean the terminology, by the way. I mean, you actually speak it.
I understand. Okay. I've never thought of it that way. I will say, like, you know, because of the social commerce aspect of, like, the business that failed that I told you about, I had to kind of, like, cram a lot of these things and, like, learn about e-commerce and marketing. And I followed it since then, since it failed. And I never, at the intersection of that and hospitality is where I think I find innovation.
Right.
You know, so which is probably the area that you're talking about. But it fizzes out sometimes, and I'm like, I don't know what to do to get inspired anymore or what to look at. I used to read Inc. and all these little magazines, and I'm like, where do I pull this from? You know, I get stuck a lot more these days than I used to.
Well, I think that's honest and humble. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that there are, like, you know, the funniest people might not be the comic that makes it. The dopest artist might not be the one that make it because they don't know how to, unless they surround themselves with, let's say, a Sarah, someone that knows how to market them or how to talk to the people that write the checks. You know what I'm saying? And so being able to do that is really valuable.
Yeah, I hope so. We'll see. I got like 6 more years left on this fucking lease at this building. So, no, but now too, it's coming to the point where it's like, I can't look inward for everything. I have to kind of look outwards. Like, for instance, our security at the last all hands on meeting, football season's coming up. They're like, you know, if like New Orleans and the Falcons are playing, we should give people wristbands based on what team they're rooting for. And when they score a touchdown, you know, the next song, like 5 minutes, you know, whatever, all shots are $5, you know, or something like to kind of, and I'm like, this is smart shit that I wouldn't, you know, like right. There's no magazine article that can teach me this stuff. So it's just about pulling around the right people.
I like that idea a lot.
I love it, I think. And I hate sports, but I think this is going to be great.
How long were you open when the pandemic happened?
16 days. So our grand opening was March. That was like a leap year. It was March 29th. February 29th.
I was going to say, right.
Yeah, February 29th, March 1, that weekend. And then the shutdown was the 16th.
Correct.
Yeah, so 16 days.
So
I cried. Oh, I cried. I was bartending that night. And then it was like, oh, the curfew has kicked in. And this is going to be like, oh, man, I fucking cried.
What were like the first few weeks like?
Well, you know, at that point it was just like the at home, stay at home thing. When the curfew started getting lifted, because we applied as a restaurant, I was like, maybe we should do pop-ups because all my friends were out of work. So I'm like, well, you know how to fucking cook. And we never got to build out our kitchen menu 100% because we were just like launching. I was like, you should come cook your menu at the bar and then we can stay open till 8 o'clock because we're a restaurant.
Right.
So then that's what we did. So we did pop-ups. So we did like over 360 pop-ups.
Were you allowed to stay... Could people stay or they had to take it out?
They had to take it out, but we had like put curtains up and then my friends could stay, like staff that was working could stay.
Right.
And then we stayed.
And then how long did that go on?
Until the day everything got lifted is like how we progressed into it. So what was that, like a couple months? And then it was like 10 o'clock, you know, and then it was like 50 people or 20, up to 25 people at a time. And then it was like 50 people at a time. And then it was 100.
Did,
and then it was.
Did you ever have like a big like staff breakout or anything like that?
No, I got COVID once, but then I kept testing negative, but I knew I had it. I think we all had it during grand opening. Like when we were doing those holiday parties, all of us got sick as fuck and we blamed the caterer. But all of us.
You blame the caterer?
We did. Internally in the group message, dragging the fucking caterer. We're like, we know they food poisoned us. There's something wrong. And then we're like, dude, you're giving everybody the flu. Because we're all hugging and, you know, because we're so happy about like these soft launches that we were doing.
Right.
And then I'm pretty sure all of us had COVID then.
What is your relationship like with the other businesses in Edgewood? You just answered the question with your face, which the audience can't see.
You know what, though? I do find, like, a lot of help with, like, you know, the nightmare right now is Michael Paul. His wife helps me a lot, too, and so does he. Liliana Bakhtiari is my council member of District 5. I reach out to her a lot. Probably get on her fucking nerves.
But I assumed y'all all kind of talked, no?
Noni's is really cool. You know, they sit on the board at the Old Fourth Ward Business Association. So Ryan sits on the board with me. So I talk to him a lot. Johnny was on the board with me the first couple of years I was on there, but I think he opened up another spot, so I barely see him anymore. I don't really know any of my fellow businesses.
Okay. I mean, I'm not saying you have to, but...
Yeah, I should. I mean, I know of them and stuff, but I don't really frequent them.
So from day one, you know, you talk about featuring artists and different... So I went and had some oxtail and then couldn't eat for another fucking 24 hours.
Yeah. I told you were going to get sleepy.
Because for some reason, when he said oxtail, I think I was like imagining these like little dishes, like of shrimp or something. I don't know why, like shrimp tails or something.
Oh, my God.
And so it's massive. Plus...
You never had oxtails before?
Maybe I have, but...
Not like that.
Not
that's like a very traditional rice and
right.
Recipes
so
peas and
so there was the mac and cheese alone, like
super heavy
to die for.
But good, delicious.
Plus the green beans, plus a piece of cornbread. If you saw the video I posted, like I'd already eaten half the cornbread before I could even make a video.
Yeah, he asked you about it too. He's like, "Where's your cornbread?" He's like, "No, I ate it."
And I was like, I literally couldn't eat for 12 hours. It was so filling and so good. But so was that like from day one? It was like we're not going to have a chef. We're going to have different people. We're going to make it a thing.
That's what we wanted to do. We got a lot of write-ups about it too, only because I've never worked in I've worked in places where there were kitchens and stuff, but I was never back of house. I was always front of house. So I don't know anything about working on a line or how the brigade of a kitchen actually works, right? Other than what I see on TV. So I'm not going to run this kitchen. Justin and Sung were like, "Eh." And all of us that came from department store and movie sets, like, we don't, you know, so that was kind of like, we were just going to figure that part out, right? And then the pandemic happened, but that's the only reason we were allowed to stay it open. So why not rent it out to people that actually know what the fuck they're doing and split it 80-20, 80 you, 20 me. And then you give me a reason to stay open and like...
It sounds so basic, but like simple.
Yeah. What other option did I have? Just not open?
Right.
Yeah, without food. Like I could have, I guess hot dogs. I could have sold like dollar hot dogs or something, but...
And then...
But nobody wants that every day.
Well, I mean, you can go to fucking Costco for that, but
exactly.
I don't want to go to Edgewood to eat a hot dog. But then, yeah. Like while I was there, the knit guy, the crochet guy.
Oh, tufting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I was like, "What is this?" And New Face told me, and he's like, "Oh, they do this like three times a week."
Three times a week. Yep. Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And I'm fascinated. I was like, people pay and come to a bar essentially and learn this skill.
Yeah.
Like you have to understand like the age difference with me. Like we did everything through like what's in the creative loafing, what show is coming to town. Yeah. You couldn't learn to fucking, you know how they have, what do they have now? They've got like the make a blade. They've got, you know, the cool cooking classes you can show up for and do dope stuff. Like, so like this whole world of like, oh, here's a cool, what we want to do something cool. What should we do? Oh, let's learn how to fucking.
What do I want to do? Like, what do we want to do? Somebody wanted to take a knife sharpening class, so we had Moshi Moshi come and do a class, you know? So it's just a matter of like, so who in the group message wants to learn something and what does it look like? But Tufting Ducko is actually like a Grammy nominated producer. He worked under Mike Will and Eardrummers and stuff. Like, and since the pandemic, he picked up this hobby on Tufting and he was like, "Yo, Sarah, I'm killing it with these fucking rugs. Like they're commissioning, people are commissioning their logos." He was like, "I think I could teach a class." I was like, "Come to the bar and teach a class. I need more chill shit to do during the day." So I was like, "Come, show me, show my staff." So I bought tickets for the staff, like six staff members.
Right.
And he was like, kind of practiced on them, on like what questions they would have, how drunk they got, like whatever, you know. So he was like, "I think I could do it." I was like, "Dude, sell the package, just come set up, do whatever you want." And then it started becoming like, he's like, "I think I need another day. I'm selling out of tickets too fast. I think I need another day." And now he's painting custom shoes and he's like killing it with that. So I'm like, "Come do that class." But that I think I want to do with kids. I want to let the kids come like during winter break and stuff and maybe like do some stuff like that. But yeah, all kinds of classes, love classes, plant classes. We did a plant and pour where this lady, like botanist, came and like taught us how to like plant stuff and like how to care for stuff.
So how, so looking at the calendar, right? Yeah. If I were to look at your, wherever you keep it.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. What is your app? What are your apps of choice for organizing?
Google Drive for sure.
Okay.
My security camera. I look at that a lot.
Okay.
The Citizen app.
Okay, I know that.
Yeah, the Citizen app. And then Google Calendar, so I can show you how pretty it is. Look at that.
Okay, so I'm going to describe this to everybody.
Yep.
I'm looking at, there's literally shit every day.
Every day. Multiple shits. And that's not even my personal. So
if I ask you color, do you know what it is based on color?
Uh-huh.
Okay, don't tell me what it, but like the is it by topic?
Yeah.
So, what's green?
Events and bookings.
Okay, so red.
Red is like birthdays and like urgent stuff, like press related stuff maybe.
Okay. Did I already do green?
Mm-hmm. There's light green too, which is more meetings and MPU neighborhood, Old Fourth Ward Association.
This is amazing.
Politics stuff.
Purple?
Purple is like farmer's markets, like more personal stuff that I have to go do research for, like for the kitchen.
Okay. And there's a dark, there's another purple or dark blue. There's a big one of it coming up. There's 5 days of it coming
up. Oh, that Justin's probably leaving out of town.
It's Dragon Con.
Oh, Dragon Con. Oh, okay. Yeah, so Justin's leaving out of town. It was like, yeah. With so, Dragon Con ATL.
So that was going to be my question, is how far is that in advance?
I mean, I go out to... I try not to, bookings wise, I try not to book too far in advance because things.
I know your code now, by the way.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
No, I actually, you typed it too fast. Juju sat here and read his fucking phone number on the air. And I was like, you don't want me to leave that in there, dude? He goes, yeah, I don't care. I bleeped it out. I was like, you got to be kidding me, dude.
What?
He's like,
you
I got more.
Crazy.
He goes, I got more than one phone. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's
more
a young
than
man.
One
so
phone? Oh my God.
I was like, yeah, no way. So I bleeped it. I bleeped out half of it. It was like.
Do you have an Apple Watch?
No, my wife has a. What does she have? But I'm not. I'm Mr. Like zero notifications, dude. I'm way too ADD crazy. So look at this. Zero notifications except for texts.
Like
everything else
background.
Is.
What is that background?
Oh, that's like a. What do you call it?
Purple and pink eye.
Japanese animation. That's, my son made that.
He made it?
He didn't make it. He screenshotted it.
Okay.
But yeah, my only thing is text. And even then, it doesn't buzz. It just, the light comes up. And then when I look at it, I look, dude, otherwise my brain.
I would never look at my phone then. But it didn't yell at me. Like, I wouldn't do it.
No, but I do. Like, I'm working on something. If I'm editing a podcast, whatever. And then when I'm done, I'm like, okay, let's look at this. Or while something's uploading. Mm. But see now, I just looked at that text, and I don't want to look at that text. I want to be focused on this.
Oh, shit.
So yeah, I got wicked. I get wicked at ADD. You can probably multitask. So anyway, how far in advance are you right now with the club?
Like 2 months. I can see into like coming up to like holiday season and what I want to do for the holidays. We got to do our big charity event, like our yearly third annual, the most consistent thing we've done, what pandemic or not, is our day before Thanksgiving Eve Hug the Block charity event, and it's a fucking shit show. But I love it. It makes the whole year worthwhile.
Because
we rent trailers for showers, hot showers. We dress, like I'm talking about wardrobe racks, like maybe 20 racks full of clothes, all sized out, men's and women's. And for the unsheltered population of Edgewood can come and shop. And then we have a live band. We have a DJ. We have home cooked meals, like lots of food.
And it's a shit show.
Good food. And it's a shit show.
Because
it's like 60 volunteers, all of us. And then we're in like these color coded hoodies. But we like, and it's Thanksgiving Eve too, so we got shit to do and whatever, but like we just stop what we're doing and we make sure we do that and put our neighborhood first on Thanksgiving.
I think that
Eve.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's the best part, but it's the shit show because it's just so many moving. Like the trailer can't make it down the street. Who's parked right here?
Right.
These cars are blocking it.
When are we
like,
gonna
the water connection won't work?
When are they gonna get rid of the stupid train car?
I don't know. I tried to do like a breakfast thing, like, you know, during finals, I wanted to do like dollar coffee, like unlimited coffee and like dollar breakfast sandwiches for the students to come, like, but they didn't come. So I might try it again this year. Maybe it was a pandemic. I'm blaming everything on the pandemic. Like,
no,
maybe
no, no.
It was
when
the
they,
pandemic.
When they made that, we were like, no one will ride that. And then guess what? No one rode it. It was like the worst. I just,
it's just like homeless people.
And you understand, like, if you're from Atlanta, you know what a problem we have with MARTA, and so like you're finally going to build something, and that's what you. It's like it's so maddening.
Yeah, they should at least like make it longer, or something, or like you know, like something. It just goes like back and forth, right?
Well, right, and I think you know, with Ubers and scooters, it didn't help. But even if Ubers and scooters didn't exist, there's just no reason.
Ubers and scooters are like they're so problematic on Edgewood, though. Like Uber's already, it's just like, I mean, I guess maybe more so because everybody waits in front of our bar to like wait. So like on the weekends, it's like everyone's crowding right there. And it's like, dude, I can't police all of this. Like,
right.
Loiterers, get out of here.
Right.
Okay.
Well, don't you have like a dude like at the door that can.
Yeah, but it's like they're worried about our door and our line and the patrons that are paying to come in. You know, it's like as far as like that's public sidewalk, like the APD needs to be on their feet.
Right.
And like have a presence maybe.
Right. Well, you can like, do that at your fucking NPU thing, right?
I do. Yeah, that's what I bitch about. I went to the last public safety meeting at City Hall and the one before that, and I kind of bitch about these things, but they're still about to pass this ordinance, which is just pissing me off. But
which is what?
The nuisance ordinance. They're pretty much saying any business that has two incidents within a 24-month period of time can get shut down up to 12 months by the city, by the municipal court. And I'm like, so are you going to hold Lenox Mall to the same standard? Are you going to hold the Ben Stadium to the same standard? Or are you just kind of positioning this to attack small businesses? And also, too, they can use it to where the landlord can kind of work with the city to, like, weaponize this against me. Because, like, the best thing that could happen to my landlord is that I get evicted or I get, like, something like this happens. Because then she could flip my shit for, like, 3 times of what I'm paying right now, which is still, like, well above market value. But anyways, that's not here nor there.
No, that is here nor there. This is the Atlanta podcast. People want to hear and learn about Atlanta.
It's crazy. Like, and right now, I think the last update, like 3 or 4 council members took their name off of it. But like, starting off, I was very surprised to see a lot of the names that were on there that signed off on this ordinance, because there's a lot of holes on that. You know, there's like a lot of things that.
Well, so it's interesting. So if you think like scared white people think, because that's what that sounds like.
Yeah, it's the neighborhoods. Yeah.
Right. And so if your club is a club that's getting shot up, mm-hmm. right? But like your club isn't like that. But
my club got shot out like 4 times last year. Not inside. You know, like nothing happened inside. A patron did not come inside with a weapon. Like they didn't, you know. But it's like we're on Edgewood. You know, crime all over. Like we're victims of this rising crime.
But that's what I'm saying. But then why is it on you?
I don't know. And that's what I'm trying to find out too. It's like why is it on me? Like at what point has the business done enough? Are we not responsible for aggressive individuals that go back to their street park cars, that get weapons? You know, like I can't follow them to their shit to make sure they don't come back and shoot some shit up. Because
right.
a lot of the times it's. Has nothing to do with us. It's just straight bullets in the middle of the day or late at night. Weird parking lot shit goes on. Like, Edgewood's just crazy. All of Atlanta's crazy, though. You go to Buckhead and same fucking shit.
Right, but they just need, they need like some more police down there.
I think so, too, you know? And that's
Buckhead's gotten way different, though.
Yeah, everywhere is different, I think.
But I'm saying, I feel like Buckhead used to be crazier.
Yeah, and then that's when last call was 4 a.m. I used to work at Uranus. You remember that? Not you. You know what I mean. Like right next to Frequency and Tongue and Groove when it used to be there. And right across from ESP.
I'm old enough to remember Club Anytime.
Oh, yeah. See, no. I didn't work there.
So they were like the only club open till 4 and sometimes later.
Yeah.
And so Club Anytime was like where everybody went when all the rest of the bars closed. Mm-hmm. So you have
the real after hours.
Yeah. So you have the regular people and the dancers and the whatever, and it was like that kind of scene.
Did you party then?
Well, back then, like
that's before you went sober.
Yeah. So I got sober once I moved to LA. But yeah, but like again, so I wasn't. I don't have like amazing tales. I only went a couple times, but that was. I remember when, like, dude, the only place you used to be able to eat late was Waffle House or OK Cafe.
Where's OK? I don't know where that's at.
It might not even be there anymore. OK Cafe was open 24 hours. It's like the only diner. That was
like this is before R. Thomas and all that.
Yeah, all that. I mean, maybe R. Thomas is around then, but I don't think in high school any of us were eating healthy. So
no.
I don't know what year R. Thomas was there. But no, like that was the only place you could go after whatever time. But back to what you were saying. So for your spot, like you don't have to name names, but like what have you said no to? Like what kinds of things have people come to you and you've been like, yeah, that's not us. Or has it been anything?
I mean, everything in general, anything nightlife oriented, I feel like they're kind of blaming on like the shootings or the carjackings or like the car, like the break-ins, just any type of crime rate, you know? But it's like, if nothing happens inside of our business, like we can't really be responsible for
No, anything. I was saying like the things you say yes to put on events. That's what I meant.
Oh.
That you've been approached by that you've been like,
Right now, a lot of people are asking me about speed dating events and I'm just like, I don't know. It's like... That's a little weird for me. I'm like, maybe. It just depends. I want to see the one sheet, right? I want to see it and see how much thought they put into it because everybody gets drunk or high and they want to fucking tell me about all these little ideas. These like, they talk to you in this corner and they're like...
Speed dating, to me, that's like a mid-2000s idea. That's not even...
And then it's like really rapey too because guys get drunk and they're so fucking horny. It's just like, I don't want to put any girls in some weird situation. But then this viral tweet went out and it was like this woman that showed up to this dating event and it was all women. It was like probably a spot as big as this, and it's like just like you see girls sitting like one-sided and like waiting on dudes. There's like a shortage of dudes or something. But I was like, man, that kind of broke my heart too, because it's like, fuck, I want to do something for the ladies, but I don't think that the dudes that are coming in our bar are like the place. Like, don't do it here. Like, do it somewhere else. I think
that's such a that like speed dating is like before there was like paint and sips before there was
or
anything
like Tinder, like I don't know, go on Bumble or something, like I don't know, but maybe there's a cute way to do it. Like I did do a sex toy auction for Mother's Day. Lauren Knight, the comedian, she did a baby mama appreciation where her and Rose Culture Styles, which is a she works on set a lot, so she's a stylist, she had a box of these brand new fucking dildos and all kinds of weird toys,
right?
So they auctioned it off and like people are paying like $180, $210 for these sex toys, but she did it really creative where she like named them, gave them, like, this is Plant Daddy, this is Inmate 6969. This
love
is,
it.
Like, based on how they looked and what they did, like, FBI agent, something. Like, she made them so cute, like, and gave them, like, these little background stories and like, gave out paddles and shit. So I was really impressed by that, and I didn't think that, I didn't know how that was going to go at all. But the dudes that came with the girls was buying them for them and shit. So I was like, all right, this is a vibe.
Right.
And it's not rapey and weird.
Right.
But
Plant Daddy.
Yeah, Plant Daddy. It was like green and white and like swirled up and shit. I was like, okay, I see what you Plant Daddy. I remember him. I was like.
So obviously you want the club to be successful.
Yes.
But like, what does that look like?
Breaking even first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Make your nut. Okay.
Yeah.
But then what? Like, make more money, open more, open other businesses. Like, what is the long term thing?
I'm getting into sourdough right now, personally. That's like the farmer's market thing you saw on my calendar. I'm like really researching like sourdough and like high, like premium butters, like butter compounds at that. So I'm playing around with that stuff. That's personally. I have an iced coffee that goes crazy that everybody asks for, but only staff can get it. But I'm thinking about starting to sell it. I want to open up something that's probably...
What about if I ask really nicely?
You could probably get one, okay. Yes. Because Chef Elliot, he always gets one when he works. You know, but I want to do something that's not related to alcohol, I think, for the next venture.
Right.
I don't want to. I want to... You know what my dream would be? To like open up an apartment complex and move all my friends in.
But then if your friends can't make rent, you don't want to kick them out.
Because we all work together. I know we're going to make rent. Well, I could definitely kick them out. If I could fire my friends, I could kick out my friends, right?
Have you had to fire a lot of friends?
Yeah, all the time. They know what the fuck is up. Like, if I have to be good for it, you have to be good for it. You want to get paid on time, you got to show up to work on time. Like, these are basic
dude, deals. I ran a staffing company, and so I've kind of seen it all.
You just got to...
And I'm always amazed that, like that's all you got to do.
Show up
on time, right? And then do the basic minimum what's asked, and you'll be a superstar. You will rise so far above the people that can't show up on time. So what we used to do is we would do these like big group interviews, right? Because we have to, if we're going to staff something in the convention center, we need to hire a couple hundred people, right? Yeah. So we're going to interview like 30 people at a time.
Holy shit.
Right? Yeah. We say the thing starts at 3, be there at 2:45, right?
Yeah, ready to go at 2:45.
Right? So like 3 o'clock, we shut the door. And they're
so many people outside, aren't they?
And they're like so fucking mad, right? And now here's the thing though. A couple of times someone would wait. They would patiently wait for the whole thing to be over, and they would say, "I'm really sorry. Can I please get another chance?" Those people wind up being superstars, right?
I can see that.
Because they
put the effort in to make up for, at least like was conscious enough
right.
to do
but
that.
But I've had people like bang on the door, go across the street and start calling us and blowing up the phone. Like, why don't you let me, it's like you're a person
you're
I want to
hire. You're wrong as fuck.
Well, like, no. And you're you think this is what's going to get you hired?
Don't ever call me again.
So, and the reason you do that is because, like, if you show up late to an interview, there's no way you showed up on time to the first day of work.
No, absolutely not. I don't blame you. Like, I'm so strict about time management. Like, that's crazy. But that's the thing, too, is, like, you would expect me as an employer to, like, uphold a certain standard, too. Like, the moment my check bounces, that's a fucking problem. I should be embarrassed, right? Like, I owe you an apology. The same thing goes for when you commit to something. Like, if I was a shitty employer, like, definitely quit. Leave me, and then I wouldn't be upset. I wouldn't be like, why are you quitting? I'd be like, dude, I suck. I probably deserve that.
Right.
You're better than this, you know? Like, go ahead, but I'm not going to be upset. People get mad, but they'll get over it.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, it saved me a lot of...
Yeah.
It's a lot of problems because I would hear from other people that would be like, oh, man, I keep having people who are late and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, how did the interview process go? Because if you can easily weed out the people.
Yes.
Right. Pretty on the again, are those people perfect? Of course not. But you know, that person has a bullshit excuse about traffic for their
intent,
for their
it's all about intent
for their interview. Yeah. Why would they bother to be up on time when it's actually work time?
And then you're not even fucking sorry. Like. And then you're not going to sit back and at least try to apologize. Like, I think that it does show a lot. Like, it shows a lot more moxie, I think, to just sit back and be like,
right.
I'm not even asking. Like, I just want to let you know, like, that's not even like me. I'm so sorry. That I think that says a lot more than just being like, well, fuck you then.
Right. No, exactly. No. So, but to hear you say that, like, about, like, I've had that happen where, like, you can't make payroll. It's like the worst.
It is.
It's the worst feeling in the world.
God, you know? But people have taken pay reductions. You know, people have been like, you know what, Sarah, like, during the pandemic, they'll be like, I'll come work for free. Like, you know what I mean? They'll just come and, like, so that has happened, and I'll never forget that, but you still can't be late because you did that.
Right. No,
last year, you know? Like, you know what I mean? Like, sorry.
Okay, so this idea of and buying the apartment complex, right, is awesome. Something. But what do you think the next thing you might do is bake some bread?
I don't know, something. I think I might incorporate the bread into our bar, though, like on Sundays.
Right.
I might have like 30 loaves of sourdough. Once I get my starter going good, I don't know. It's a whole process.
Did you see Better Call Saul finale by chance?
Not the finale, no.
It was just on. No. Anyway, there's some bread.
I've seen Better Call Saul, like some episodes of it, but I got lost interest.
It's okay. There's a... If you watch the last episode, if you're listening to this around this time, there's some bread.
It's bread stuff?
There's bread stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'll watch it. I'm bread. I have so many books right now.
I don't want to spoil it. What are you reading?
Like sourdough stuff. Sourdough bread, bread for beginners, basics of sourdough, like anything bread related.
Right. All right, well, listen, I like to close out with these Atlanta like favorites.
Oh shit. Okay.
Right? It's like Atlanta favorites quiz. There's no wrong answers.
Okay. Okay.
But this is the part that I usually film.
Okay.
So
let me get
You can do whatever you want. You just hold on one second.
The fucking sauna. Okay. It's fun. So what made you go sober? I'm very curious. Wait, do you like talking about that or you don't have to?
I would talk about it. So you make plans.
You went to LA. You moved to LA.
You make plans and God laughs.
Wait, I like that. I haven't heard that.
It's an old phrase.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Plans and God laughs?
Right.
Yeah, he does.
So here's my plan.
He fucking does.
Here's my plan, okay? This is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to move to LA, and all the movies I've ever seen... where like you go up to Hollywood Hills and like do blow and like hang out with
lots
like fucking hookers and fucking amazing actors, like all that.
Yeah.
And I moved to LA and I got sober like in a month. Because I hit bottom so fast.
Oh, you didn't have any money to buy drugs?
Because LA is like, you can, I mean, I know every town says they have shit going on every night, but LA, there's legit stuff going on and people are always like, so the story that I tell is there's this great bar. And now it's been so long, I can't even remember it. Oh, my God.
The name of the bar?
There's this bar, and it was on, I think, Gower. And I can't believe I can't think of it. I want to say the Velvet Room, but it wasn't. It's the Velvet something. I can't fucking remember the name.
Velvet Room was here, wasn't it?
I don't remember. Anyway, but, like, I left one night. So, like, for me, it was never over. You know what I mean? Like, my friends are like, okay, it's 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, and I'd be like...
Oh, we're just getting going.
I haven't got loaded yet. I haven't hooked up with a chick yet. Like, so the night's not over.
Shit to do.
So sometimes it would end with meeting somebody, but oftentimes it'd be me walking to my car with, like, no money in my pocket and, like, sad, right?
Yes, yes.
So it happened, and I couldn't find my car, right? And then it hit me like...
Did you get towed?
No. It hit me that, like, this is exactly the way it had gone the night before and the night before.
Ah.
And I was like,
you were turned off.
I was like, what? How is this happening? Like, how is this my life?
Yeah.
It was a third night in a row. I'm up at 3 a.m. by myself, broke, blah, 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 blah. And that was kind of it. And that usually does not happen for people. People try to get sober. They start, they stop. But I knew about AA because my dad had been sober a long time.
Yeah.
My dad was a fucking rager. He left us when I was 2, and then we reconnected when I was a teenager, blah, blah, blah.
Damn.
So I called him and was like, what should I do? And he said, you can try to go to some meetings. And then that was it. And I was like,
meetings help you?
Yeah. I still go.
Really?
Yeah. Not as much as I did when I was new.
20 years later. Still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
They really, yeah.
My friend, the fact that she said something to me, I was like, maybe is she asking me to go with her? Because she knows that I'm like 60 days in right now.
Dude, just go to one. You like it or you don't like it?
You don't have
to say anything. Really? It doesn't cost anything. People will try to talk to you probably because you're new, but like, but you don't have to like raise your hand. You don't have to introduce yourself. Like they'll say like, is anybody new? But you don't have to, like you could just easily roll out of there.
Hmm. Interesting. I like that. I feel like that moment, that like thing where it's like that moment of disgust with yourself too, usually helps me go into my sobriety. Like where I'm so turned off by the idea of smoking, snorting, or drinking anything, where it's just like, oh my God, I suck so bad. Like, you know, and then I kind of ride off that wave and that kind of pushed me through like the first couple of weeks. And then I'm like, oh, I'm 2 weeks in. I might as well just
stay sober. Listen, drinking and drugs are really fun. We wouldn't do them if they weren't, but it's when it stops.
The come down is crazy.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Walking back to your car. Yeah, it's
but
like,
you see what I'm saying?
A lot of thoughts happen there.
But it was one of those like, it's funny when what's his name says it, you know. Fiction, he says it's what alcoholics call a moment of clarity. That's what I had. I had a moment of clarity that was like, my life is fucked.
Yeah. Good shit. 20 years, man. That's awesome.
One day at a time, man.
Yeah.
That's what we say, bro.
Yeah. Seriously.
What does your sweatshirt say?
MMB. It's Trouble's old sweatshirt, but it's Mind of My Business is what MMB stands for. I think about him a lot. Dude, so I had a dream about him not too long ago, right? Well, I've been dreaming about him since his passing, but he's like ignoring me in the dreams. like, I'm trying to talk to him. I'm like, he won't look at me. And I'm like, damn. So the longest I thought he was like mad at me. And I was like, damn, is he mad? Like, did I do something? Or like, was he, is there something that he's feeling? And he's like, I'm not picking up on it. I was like, why won't he look at me? I'm like screaming at him. So like, nice. Oh, they're going to be like, what's going on? But then a couple days ago, or like 3 days ago, I finally got to talk to him in my dream. We walked like this field and I had his son in my arms. And he like, kept trying to give him to him and he wouldn't take it. But either way, I woke up feeling a lot better. And then I realized today when my homegirl sent me the AA thing, I was like, oh, shit. I was like, that was my day 60. So he came and saw me on my 60th day of sobriety. And I haven't drank since his funeral. So that's when I
talked. And when was that?
What was it, like the second week of June? Like the 11th or 12th of June, I think. It was like he passed on the 5th.
All right. Okay. What is your go-to order at the Waffle House?
All-star, right? Scrambled, no cheese, hash browns with jalapeno peppers, mushrooms, and cheese on that, and sausage.
What is your current favorite place to eat in Atlanta?
When? Okay, soba?
You can have two answers. You can have a sober and drunk answer. You can have a breakfast and dinner answer. You can give any two you want.
I'm trying to make it like so it's like different, you know? But I love soba. Number 13 with no onions. I like Emerald City Bagels, but that's right down the street from soba. I'm trying to give you like some
diversity. I thought you meant drunk or sober.
Soba, like as in S-O-B-A in E-A-V. Are we in trouble?
No, somebody's... probably scouting out a shoot. They're always doing.
They look like grips and gaffers. The ponytail gives it away.
Right.
That's the key rep right there.
Right.
He does all the.
See, you wonder something hilarious. So my wife and I. So I was doing stand up in LA. My wife was an actress. She was there even longer than I was. Mm-hmm. And like we got married, had our baby, first kid, and neither of us. We were like both just kind of done. Like I think I'm done with this whole industry thing. Like
I thought you were talking about having kids. I was like, wait, what?
So we move, and like. One of the first months we were like in town, like there was all these fucking C stands set up in the church parking lot next to us. And I was like, do they make movies here now? And it was just when Atlanta started blowing up with the whole, whole industry. Right.
It's fucking, the little C stands. I hate C stands. I always like clamp my fingers down on them when I'm trying to help them. They're like, stop touching shit. That's definitely a scout going on. But yes. Okay. Sorry. Soba on East Atlanta Village right now.
Oh, okay. Publix or Kroger?
Publix.
Because
I mean, I go to Kroger, but I like Publix. Whenever I can go to Publix, I'll go there. Their subs are better. It's elite subs, and their veggies seem more fresh.
Do you know who just gave almost that exact answer?
Who?
Fabo.
Really?
He talked about, was Fabo to talk about the subs?
I was watching his interview. I know he was talking about like a lot of, you were asking.
No, he was, he, no, maybe it was New Face. Somebody, we were talking about subs with one of them. I can't remember which now.
Publix for sure.
Right.
And then like the way that they do their shelves is super satisfying. Like they actually pull it forward and it's like flat. I'm like, this is nice.
Nobody has mentioned shelves being satisfying or not before.
It is. And then their logos and stuff too, like all their Publix brand, they put on eye level.
Right.
As opposed to like the bottom shelf, which is what Kroger does. And it's like, it just has that consistency, like going straight down the aisle. It's nice.
Okay. Rank Atlanta sports teams in importance to you. I know you said you don't watch sports, but just go ahead.
Okay.
Falcons, Braves, Hawks, United.
Okay, I feel like United because I think we're doing good there.
Okay.
Falcons because they're popular.
Okay.
Hawks, I feel like people like them sometimes and then they don't like them the other times. Like one year they're mad at them, one year they love them.
Right.
And then what's the other one? Braves?
Yeah.
They moved their stadium, so fuck them.
A lot of people feel that way.
Really? After they moved to the like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, good.
If you grew up with the Braves.
Yeah, like
I mean, they won the World Series.
They should be right here, right?
Right. They won the World Series and people are kind of jumping on them because of that. It's like easy to like.
That's why they moved, because they won?
No. They won a bunch in the 90s. They moved because every sports owner convinces people to build them a new stadium, and they already had one in 96. And anyway, they got a new stadium up there. And it's like that's where like the touristas go, right? Suburbanites, like that to them is a fun night out.
And all the cops are there. Like nobody wants to drive from there drunk down back here.
Right. Like, yeah. Dude, I used to live in Kennesaw. Speaking of, you said Powder Springs.
I
used to be so loaded and then drive. I didn't want to get on 75, so I drove on 41, which looking back,
41.
You don't even know what 41 is?
It's 41.
Oh my God.
What is it? Is it a highway?
41 is like not the freeway, but it rolls all the
Freedom
way.
Park? Is it Freedom Parkway? That
no,
goes?
Oh, it's okay. Not even that.
Okay, never mind. Sorry. Anyway, I know I take Freedom Parkway for back road sometimes.
I used to take 41 home. And so, speaking of strip clubs, 41 was fucking jamming, okay?
Yeah.
This is really like the old heads that are listening to this. There were like three or four strip clubs right there in 41.
What were the names? Do I know
them? How do I not remember the names of them? I'm so...
It wasn't like Pleasers, Flashers,
no,
on
no, no.
It.
Those are in random-ass parts of town. Okay. I want to say Taj Mahal was one of them.
Oh. That sounds familiar.
But Marietta was like...
Oh. Boomers? Know, remember Boomers?
Boomers was there.
I've been to Boomers.
I think Boomers was there.
I went there on my 18th birthday.
Good for you. Mm-hmm. See, I think Boomers was there. But it's so funny because the suburbanites were like... You know, like, this is the suburbs and get out of here. And it's like, no kids are playing on 41. 41 is all car dealerships.
Their husbands are going there.
It's all car dealerships and those strip clubs. Now it's just car dealerships.
It wasn't about their kids. It was about their husbands having too much of an easy access to it.
Is that what you think it was?
Fucking haters, yeah. Wenches. Yeah. Just hating on the hustle, man. But yeah, they got rid of it. Sure.
Okay, so... Oh, what is the best concert you've ever seen in Atlanta?
I've only been to two concerts my whole life.
Okay.
But I've been on the show, I've been on the road with Trouble, so I've seen his stuff. But it was Erykah Badu. I waited until I was 21 to make sure it was an Erykah Badu concert, and then I saw Beyonce.
You don't like going to shows?
I do, but I wanted my first one to be Erykah Badu, and I've always said that, but I just never could catch her.
Right. Do you go, I usually also ask, like, do you have a favorite festival in Atlanta?
No. I went to the West Indies Fest one time and I loved it. That was cool.
Do you travel much outside of the city?
No, but I did when I was on the road. I fucking hated it. I went on like four, I went on like two tours with Abra. I went on like six radio ones with Trouble. He probably, between the both of them, I've been in every city, every North America, everything, just everywhere. Every state, city, radio station, we've like done shows at and stuff.
Did you, if you had to do those early morning shows, what was that like?
With him? Oh, so cranky. He's a cranky, cranky, cranky boy.
And the radio guys were like, hey, good morning.
Yeah, yeah. He would jump into character, but just getting him on the sprinter, getting him into the, oh my God. And he's a ladies man too, so there's always like a bunch of chicks in his room. I'm like, come on, we gotta go, we're late. Especially New York, because you know, we got the car waiting for us out there and everything's so busy, busy, busy.
Right.
Just traffic, traffic, traffic.
So you wouldn't want that life again, like being on the road with artists or anything?
I would. I mean, it depends on the artist, you know? Like, a lot of... The artists are very needy and sensitive and very smart and creative and, like, a lot of things. But, you know, like, it takes a nurturing hand to kind of, like, you know, make sure that they have a great experience on the road, which is my job. So I have to be attentive, like, all the time.
Right, but as I was saying, I feel like somebody... That's a very valuable skill that you have.
It's exhausting. It's an exhausting skill, you know? So it's like maybe when I was younger, I had it more in me, but it's like, oh my God. And it's really too, the interview people, like they'll just ask the same fucking questions every time, same answers. And I'm like, dude, but I mean, I would go. It just depends on the artist.
Well, that's why we're doing this show, by the way.
Yeah.
It's because I hate it. I watch interviews.
Yeah.
And I'll turn it on because like I like the artist or the actor, whoever it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, Why we're here, by the way, and I'm sure this won't be the only time I say this, but it's the first time I'm saying this because this is my first like starting to interview here. Other than
so you're gonna be doing them here all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Right? Because it's like
that's
right.
Awesome. Yeah.
It's like let's get Atlanta legends, like Atlanta people in this legendary spot. So it's like I turn this on and it's two fucking guys and they sure have really nice equipment and a big brown fucking desk that's really expensive and it's like, and they ask shitty questions.
The worst.
They're fucking fanboys or they're just boring. They don't know how to ask a good follow. Like it pains me.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. It's like. And then the radio people, they just use buzzwords or it's like, tell us about that song you made with Drake. Like, you know, they just try to drop names and stuff. And it's like, but some interviews were great. Like, you know, what is it? Bootleg Kev was a good one. And there were some people in New York that he sat down with one-on-one that were like longer. And like the Billboard write-up was good. But like for the radio stuff, it's just like, you know, it's so in and out. But it just depends on the right artist. Like Abra's doing really well. She moved to LA. So she's doing stuff. I think she's dropping her new project soon. But
so if somebody came to you and said, I want to bring you on the road with me, and here's this giant, like many zeros, would you have to think about it or would you be like, it's not worth the money?
I would think about it. Okay. Well, who's going to watch the bar? I got to see where the bar is at. That calendar is packed, but we got to see through all those things that are on that calendar because I'm committed to the people that booked them to give them the experience too. It's just a lot. But I would think about it. I would think, it depends on who it is. Like, what kind of talent? Is it, like, a rapper, a singer, a musician, a comedian? Like, what are we talking about here?
I don't know. You said you started booking stuff for Dax. Like, how did that work out?
Fucking badass. Dax changed.
Dax is the man.
Dax changed everything about my career. Like, he was like such a huge milestone in my whole journey story, everything. Like, Dax, because when I got Dax, I was like, Dax, you're not gonna be able to fucking, like, you don't need a manager. Like, what? He was like, dude, I promise you, man, when I tell you, Dax outworks me. He will party longer than me and get up earlier than me. He taught me the balance of party and work. And I've seen Dax do all kinds. Like, he took me to New Orleans for 2 weeks. And when you talk about some partying, but he was in like this, he was in the Ogden Museum, which is like their high museum for like the graffiti, like art of graffiti and everything, like the history, like so much archives of Dax. Like, he did this huge 100-foot mural out there while I was with him, and I had to help him every day. But like, seeing how hard he partied with his New Orleans homeboys, and then when we had to get up 6 a.m., like, fucking hauling ladders and scaffolding and shit and like just killing it, you know? But I was like, I need to party like that. And like, he even, you know, I don't even know if I should say this, but he taught me like a real like romantic way of like ending the night, so to speak. Whatever, it's like let's say it's a cigarette. And I'm like, man, I need to stop smoking cigarettes for the rest of the night. But like, just taking it and just like, you need to see it physically disappear without ingesting it, so to speak. So like, it was just like a cool ritual that I always thought, but I'm like, that's it, no more. I'm done for the night, you know? Flick the cigarette out, something like that. If that makes sense for the analogy, you know?
Totally.
But, like, no, Dax taught me the party and work balance. But he was awesome. He would get gigs for commission work and, like, murals and, like, doing the inside of clubs and stuff for, like, thousands of dollars, like, really big checks. And he made sure, he always took care of me. But also, the pecking order and, like, the G-code of the graffiti world was something that I wasn't privy to. But it kind of geared me to working with Trouble because of, like, I guess some people might call it gang ties or just whatever, like the street code that he comes from. It kind of like, I understood a lot of the similarities of like the hyper masculine world that I had just kind of got myself into. But you know, even with Dax, there's so much code and stuff, like even going over somebody else's artwork or just like, you know, between the throw ups and like where to position your artwork and like to make sure that you don't disrespect another artist, whether they're dead or alive, you know, stuff like that you never really think about. But making sure that something doesn't look like someone else's work or like giving credit where it was due, like just being very particular and like intentful about stuff. And then like learning that and kind of understanding that when I started working for Trouble, it's like, you know, the street shit, like I was never involved in it, but I know that Trouble comes from the streets.
How did you start working with him?
I produced, I was the production manager for his short film, Edgewood. Have you ever seen it?
I've not.
It's like 30 minutes, it's on YouTube. His old manager, Derek Schlar. He's in LA now, but he kind of took a liking to me and brought me on after that. And then he was leaving Trouble as management. And he was like, I'm going to pass you the torch.
But and that
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, kind of.
And you guys just clicked right away?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, Trouble, I've known him since, because he used to be my customer at Follies too. So it all is like a 360 type of thing. Yeah. Yeah, he was my customer. I used to work the bar on Sundays, and him and T. White, we used to come in there and always get a bottle. He'd tip me $300 every Sunday.
And then how did you like...
The department store. He came by department store. He's like, I heard you got a spot now. What's up? You're the manager here. And I was like, yeah, come do a show. And he was like, all right, one day. And then I quit. And then one of the promoters reached out to him. And he was like, where's Sarah? And he was like, oh, she don't work here no more. I didn't have his number. He didn't have mine. He had his manager at the time find me to like get my blessing to like come back to department store and do a show. He's like, I know you've been trying to get me to come up here. And I said I would. But I hear you're gone now. I want to make sure there's no pressure. And I was like, what? No, you don't owe me that loyalty. But no, go ahead. Have a great show. But after that, I thought that was so cool. But I'm like, that's that G-code shit in his mind where he's like, you know, like there's a street code and like a respect and a due process to all this shit. And he kind of taught me that. But Dax prepped me for that because he was like the more extreme version of that.
Right.
But it's all serendipitous as fuck.
All right. And the last question is, who should I have next on the Atlanta podcast?
You've had Dax already.
I've had Dax.
Have you had Motion Family?
I have not.
I think Motion Family goes hand in hand with Dax, though, because that's how I met them. And they,
Gip, he tried to hook me up with Gip, and then...
Before he passed?
No, Gip Good, he's alive.
Oh, Gip Good. Oh, I thought you meant... Sorry, I was thinking about Grip. Sorry, I was like, Grip before he passed? Okay.
He tried to and didn't really happen. This was 2 years ago, and now Fabo and New Face reached out. And so we've been DMing me and Gip, and Gip's like, hey, I got these 4 shows, hit me up next week. So that might happen. But anyone else you can, or like particularly?
You know what? Only because you said it. Well, not only because, but because you said you did stand up and stuff. I think I want to nominate Lauren Knight.
Okay.
She does the residencies at Monday, and she's like the only comedy like event that we've had in our space. And it was so good that I gave her a residency. She also, she's fucking hilarious. She's doing a lot of writing and stuff. She's working on some stuff for Our Bar too. But I think maybe, have you had a comedian on here?
I mean, I've had a few, but yeah.
Like in a long time?
It's been a while. And listen, I tell people, because people ask, like, well, who do you want? I'm like, anybody that you think makes a good conversation.
Oh, she's going to be great.
So, like, I asked Newface, I'm like, should I talk to Sarah? And he's like, yes, absolutely. Because some people are very successful, but fucking boring.
Really?
So, you know what I mean? Yes.
But I do.
You did. What do you mean? What did you do? You did great. We talked for an hour, of course.
Really?
Yes.
Been an hour. This is. I was so nervous. I was like, "Can you send me questions? Because I don't know. No. I think you would love it. I think she would have you fucking pissing your pants, crying.
All right. Laughing. Let's make that happen.
Really?
Yeah.
She's gonna love it too. And it's gonna be here. Yeah. She's gonna lose her fucking mind.
All right. Do a little. We'll do a little DM action.
Okay.
All right. We can order some wings maybe shortly.
Yeah. I'll buy you some wings.
All right. See you later.
Okay. Bye.
There we go. That's Sarah at Our Bar ATL. You can check them out on Instagram at Our Bar ATL, or just go there. Just stop by. I went there, had an amazing meal. You've heard us talk about all the different kinds of foods they have, foods or food they have, plus all the different shit they have going on down there. So check out their Instagram for that. But like I said, just drop in, have a drink, eat some awesome food. It's a great, great time. Guys, thank you so much for listening. I know we have a lot of new listeners. Welcome to it. Please do me a favor. Let us know what you think of the show. Drop us a little note there on one of the many review platforms you can do, and or right on the IG. Drop it right there in an episode. Drop us a DM, whatever you feel like doing. I'm cool with it. Got a guest you want to suggest? I'm open to that as well. No guarantees, but I'm open to any and all suggestions. Thank you again so much for listening. I have got to run.